We can talk about that if you want. That's a fun topic. Okay, we're talking about Tumas Kohanim tonight because it's Parshas Emor. The Torah being Parshas Emor says that a Kohen has an Isur Nefesh Lo Yitamo Ba'amov, that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei with the exception of his immediate relatives. That's what the Torah tells us. Now, I'd like to just discuss with you very briefly some of the issues of Tumas Kohanim that are somewhat relevant. You pointed out the question of like flying wearing a plastic bag. There's like this picture going on, going viral around Facebook about that. The issue over there is that when you fly, you will very often fly on top of a Beis HaKavaros, so you'll fly on top of a cemetery, and the Kohen promptly becomes tamei in that process, because the halacha is that we pass in the ohel zarek lashmei ohel, that even though as when I'm flying in a plane, the plane is an ohel and it's a contained unit, but the halacha says that an ohel zarek, a moving ohel, loses its status of an ohel. So the question is, are you as a kohen allowed to fly on an airplane? Now, this issue came up a few years ago when they found out that most flights that leave Eretz Yisrael fly right over a cemetery in Chulon. And El Al, because of the pressure, said, okay, we're going to change the flight patterns. But what happens is it doesn't fully solve everything, because most of the flights that fly into Kennedy end up flying over a Beis HaKvaros in Bayside. No? And even if you fly over a Beis HaKavaros that's non-Jewish, we pask in that Kohanim are not supposed to be Mitamei to Kivrei Akum also, no? Look in Sif Beis, over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Kivrei Akum, Nachum Lizahir HaKohen Mirei Lechaleihem, claiming to be careful not to go on top of Kivrei Akum, right? Even though there are Yesh Mekilim, Apo Pish Yesh Mekilim, Ramos says, Nachum Lahachmir, you should be Machmir. So, the question of a Kohen flying over a cemetery is a real question. And based on this, there are some who try to have some Eitzah of having a plastic bag on top of them. And the assumption is that a plastic bag is something that's not Mekabel Tuma, and therefore Bechutzeit Bifnei HaTuma. And it's not called an Ohel Zarek, apparently. Why? Why is it not called Ohel Zarek? Because it is not moving itself. Unlike the plane, which is moving itself, this is a box, so to speak, inside the plane. Now, is this necessary? Is there any hetter to fly over the cemeteries? So, the basic literature over here comes as follows. The easiest hetter to give is based on a machlokas Rambam and Ravid here in Parak Gimel of Hilchos Eivel Halapazayin. Let's say the Kayin is already Tomei and becomes Tomei again. So the Rambam writes, Nitman Bikonim Acharkach Nichnas Ohel Im Hisribo Loke Afal Habiyah. Zakhna, right? Second source, right at the top. So the Rambam writes, if you become Tomei, and then, right, so you're a Kayin who's Tomei, and then you become Tomei again. So the Rambam writes, if they warn you, don't become Tomei the second time, so you're going to get Malkus for the second Tumah. The Ravid, Rabbi Abraham ben David of Paskir, is dying in 1197. Amar Avram, Harav Einu Posekin, V'ha lo mechuvar, D'sugin ishmaitze k'rabba, D'tumah v'tumah shalom b'chiburin nami lo mechayim, V'koshkin b'chiburin, V'tumah s'biyan nami lo mechayim, V'heichad asud v'asachas. Zuk the Ravid, that first of all, the Rift doesn't paskin like you, Rambam. Second of all, you're wrong, because it's against the sugya in Nazir and elsewhere, where the Gemara says a tumah of a tumah shall be chiburin yidam kechayiv. Right, the Rambam holds that the only time that if I'm tummy once, I'm allowed to become tummy a second time, is if I have what's called tumah b'chiburin. Let's say I am touching a mace, and then I touch a second mace, so that tumah b'chiburin, then I'm not chayiv for the second one. But tumah of a tumah shall be chiburin, the Rambam says you'll get malchus. Right? So if I was tummy beforehand, so according to Rambam, I get Malkus if I become tummy a second time. Ravid says, no. Tumah b'tumah shelo b'chiburin, you're not going to be chayiv. Now, what does the Ravid mean? Does the Ravid mean I'm not going to be chayiv, but it's usher? Does the Ravid mean I'm not going to be chayiv, it's usher min hatayir, maybe it's usher min drabonon, maybe I'm not going to be chayiv, it's mutter to become tummy a second time? That's unclear in the Ravid. And this led to a huge literature in the Achronim. The Dogma Meravava quotes as follows. On this din of Kivrei Akum, you see, look in the Piskei Tshuva over here, who quotes in the Dogma Meravava. The Dogma Meravava, as we know, is in Ode Yehuda. Right? And on this din that the Mechaber and the Rama both passing that you should not, nochon lahachmer, not to become tamei to goyim, zok the dogam meravava, ayin dogam meravava, shekosab, odas haraibin, perkeim nazirus, the hev shekvar tamei, shuv eno muzer alatoma, imken kohanim bezmanaze, eno muzer maltoma. Right? Well, we don't paskin like the Ravid that once you're tummy, you're allowed to become tummy again. But since there's a machlokas, have you shown about Kivrei Akum entirely? So maybe we will have this combination of factors and combine Kivrei Akum with the fact that you're already tameh, and chick chop boom, maybe that's going to be permitted. And therefore, if you want to be makel, ein mochem biyado, we don't protest. But then the Dogma Meravava said, "This is what I thought in my youth." Veshuv kosev the chol mashak asavdim shachti achmi divrei amishnah lo melachim parakim vavavah del daito silver rabbi chain iser klal lekan shikvar nitmal tameh yatsa ba'ashan asati aslibi the sheulai lo amar harayve ala inyan chiyav malchus achin hadran abim melahatul kain leilchak kivei akum. Right, Zok the Ravid Yehuda, in my youth I thought that you can be makel as a kayin because once you're tummy already, the assumption is that all kayin are tummy today. And once you're tummy already, you can become tummy a second time, according to the Ravid. You know, we don't pass like the Ravid, but for Kivrei Akum you can be makel. But Zok the Ravid Yehuda, in my later years, I realized that no, that's not correct. Because the Ravid does not actually permit you to become tamei. The Ravid just says you don't get malchus. Okay. So now, is a kohen allowed to fly on a plane over a cemetery? If I hold like the Dogma Meravava, and the Dogma Meravava in his youth, so then I have a kula al kohanim on a non-Jewish cemetery, no? Because Ravid, plus the fact that it's Kivrei Akum and everything is grand.
How can you rely on something that he himself went
back? The Dogma Meravava changed his mind. But maybe you could rely on it combined with some other sfeikos. The other sfeikos would be, there is an opinion of the Rash HaZokein in Meseches HaHolos that Tumas, when we say Ohel Zorek, Lo Shmei Ohel, that's only that Ohel Zorek is Lo Shmei Ohel in the sense of something that's on top of the plane. But something that's inside the plane, maybe it's an oihel for the stuff that's inside the plane. So maybe you can combine these factors. So Reb Feivel Cohen, years ago, it's printed in Yeshurun, volume 10. Reb Feivel Cohen sent a letter to Reb Yashiv to ask about maybe you could combine all these factors to be makal on Kohanim flying out of Eretz Yisrael. Right? This Rash HaZokein, the Ravid, combined with the fact that there's a true in the Shvus Yaakov and other Achronim, that maybe Kohanim Bisman Hazar are not real Kohanim, maybe only Suffolk Kohanim. You put it all together, you make a chalant, maybe you could be Makel. But Reb Feivel Cohen himself is less inclined to be Makel. He writes, you know, maybe the whole Ravid doesn't apply Bisman Hazar. Because what's the cheshbon of that someone to be Makel on? The cheshbon is, well, the Ravid holds, once you're tummy, you're allowed to become tummy again. But are we necessarily tummy, Bisman Hazeh, says Reb Feivel Cohen? Today, most people, actually things are changing a bit, but most people don't die at home. Most people die in hospitals. And if you're a Kohen, Kenzan, you were never in the hospital. It's a whole shadow for a Kohen to go into the hospital at all, no? It's not so pashat. Maybe we should talk about that also if we're in a good mood. Mm-hmm. But it's not so pashat that Kohen's allowed to go into a hospital because there might be dead bodies. The Kohen could be today, death is removed from us, no? There was a time that dead bodies were much more common. I see dead bodies. I'm a rabbi. Usually when some of the community dies, I go there. I saw a few dead bodies before I became the rabbi. When my aunt was nefteres, my mother said I should come over. My grandmother, but not so many. Now I see them all the time, but most people don't see dead bodies, no? If you remember the chevra, you see dead bodies. But Kohen won't be a member of the chevra. Right. So Kohanim Bizman Hazeh, Reb Feivel argues, might not be tamei at all. And maybe the whole kula of this ravid doesn't apply. He raised this question when he sent the shayla to Rabbi Yoshev. And for some reason, Rabbi Yoshev doesn't answer it. Rabbi Yoshev doesn't answer this point. To me, it seems that that's like a real point. Who says, today we are tamei? Not so much. What?
Aren't there other things that create tamei?
So, the only thing a kohen is musar on is dead bodies. Like a kohen is allowed to, if you pick up a piece of treif meat, so that meat is nevela. There's something called tumas nevela. But kohanim allowed to pick up tumi to tumas nevela. It's only dead bodies. Now, technically speaking, there is a thing called cheref harehu kachalal. Cheref harehu kachalal means if you have a metal item in the oil of a mace, so that metal item itself becomes the din of avi avos hatuma. Right? Because cheref harehu kachalal, usually tuma transfers down. A rishon makes a sheni, avi avos makes an av. Right. But cheref harehu kachalal allows you to go the same level. So a metal item in the oil of mace is going to be tamei. The same as a mace itself. It becomes avi avos hatuma for everything. So
no, forever
until you get paraduma.
Your watch.
So if you're wearing a watch, so my watch. I was in. I'm sure I was wearing this watch when I was near dead people. No. So am I allowed to wear this watch when I'm in the room with a kayin? So there's a machloikas in the Taisus and Brachas and the Nozir. But whether Kohen is a Muzar and Cherev Hario Kecholol. Rabbeinu Tam felt that a Kohen is not allowed to be in the same room as my watch. I've been around dead people. I've carried Mason with this watch, I'm sure. So, Rabbeinu Tam says that you're not allowed as a Kohen. You can't be in the room. Cherev Hario Kecholol. Now again, there are some Rishonim who define Cherev Hario Kecholol more narrowly and assume it's only the murder weapon. But Naniach, the mainstream approach, I never killed anyone with this watch, thank you Akiva, right? But Naniach, this watch is Cherev HaRei Kecholol, so Rabbi Tam says, Kohen can't wear the watch, can't be in the same room as my watch. Reb Chaim Cohen was another of the Bali HaTaisis. He's famous for Shita that the mitzvah of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael does not apply to Bizman Hazeh. Reb Chaim Cohen said to Rabbi Tam, Mamish brilliant, he quoted from the Pasuk in Navi, Ezebayis asher tivnu li. Right? Reb Chaim Cohen is a Kohen. And he says, what house are you going to build for me? Where can I live? If I'm Musar and Cherev HaRei Kecholol, what am I going to do? So we pass, and Kohen is not Musar and Cherev HaRei Kecholol. But Rav Gorin is a Goyin Olam, no? Rav Gorin says, maybe based on this we can have a Cheshbon. That a Kohen would be allowed to be metame, because even the there's a machlokas Rambam and Ravid about when a Kohen can be metame to a second mace, right? So the Ravid says as long as you're tame, you can be metame. The Rambam says only if it's tuma b'chiburin, only if I'm becoming tame at that moment. Zot Reb Chaim, Zot Reb Goren, Zachron Lavracha, the Heliger Rav Goren, mit the Shaifer right here, Rav Goren, right? Zot Rav Goren. Have a Kohen wear a watch that was with the room that was in the room of a mace. Then the Kohen's allowed to do that. We pass like Reb Chaim Cohen against the Rabbi Natan. That Kohen is not Musar and Cherev HaRei Kecholol. And then once you're Tomei and you're wearing the watch, it's Tuma B'chiburin, so there's no Isser of additional Tuma, according to the Rambam also. That's his Chap. And based on this, he said maybe you could be making on a Kohen going to medical school even. Whoa! Cadavers are mamish mason. Although today they're now medical schools, the better medical schools don't do this. The worst medical schools now use virtual cadavers. That means that you're cutting up resusa ani instead of cutting up a normal body or something. Okay, so sad. But
is the metal plane considered?
The what?
The plane.
The plane.
Because planes carry dead bodies.
Maybe if there is a dead body on that same plane.
Well,
but, well, not all planes carry dead bodies.
I'm saying
El Al has a limited fleet. Yeah.
No, but
it is. Right. So it could be that. Again, there is a further discussion. It could be that planes are made out of aluminum. Aluminum might not be one of those metals in the Torah.
Composite.
It's a composite of a bunch of different metals. Okay.
What's the score of fine Olzar Loshmei Ol? Because, for instance, I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but Chabad on the Sukkot, they put a Sukkot in a flatbed truck, you know, and to me, and then they say.
So when the truck is parked, it's okay.
Wow.
When it's moving, that's a Mishnah. Making a sukkah on top of a behemoth. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, "Ain olam lo biyantiv." No, could be a kosher sukkah, just you can't climb on the animals in yantiv.
Why is this question?
So olam zarek is an interesting svara. We have this halacha, olam zarek lo shmei ol. What the source of it is in Chumash or anything, I don't know. I think it's a svara, just that that's not the way structures are. Structures
right.
Don't fly.
I know, but it's the sukkah that, it's stationary.
Yeah, when it's stationary, for sure it works. I think so.
Why is this question always only about flying to Israel?
Anytime.
When planes fly other places as well.
Right, you take off from LaGuardia all the time. You fly over Bayside airports, no?
Because
people think about
it.
Planes generally don't carry dead bodies.
No, but they're always going over here. Because they're like a rope most of the time. You can assume you're not
going
over it.
It could be. It's a strong rope. So is there any heter? So Rav Shechter is a goyin olam, no? This is one of my favorite pieces of Rav Shechter. In the Sefer, the Ikveh Hatzon. So Rav Shechter has the following idea. Rav Shechter develops a chakira as to what's the nature of the Isser of Tumas Kehanim. Is the Isser of Tumas Kehanim that a kohen can't become Tamei? Or maybe the Isser Tumas Kohanim is the Torah writes, "Lenefesh lo yitama lo yikrivu." Don't come close to Tumah. Maybe the Isser isn't becoming Tameh. Maybe the Isser is being near Tumah. And Rav Shechter suggests that maybe that's the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. In other words, everybody holds that you don't add any additional Tumah. Your Tameh ones, there's no additional Tumah that you're adding. How come the Rambam says it's Aser? Because the answer is that the Rambam is redefining Tumas Kehanim as Kreva Lames. The Isser of Tumas Kehanim might not be about becoming Tumay. Tumas Kehanim might be about coming close to a mace. And Lu Yitzuya, let's say I could have something that halachically is a mace, but I'm not going to become Tumay. For example, should I say this? I'll say two stories. Neither of which is pleasant. Years ago, my wife and I, we had a very late-term miscarriage. It was around the eighth month that we lost the baby. It was a miscarriage very late. So, at that time, we knew that the baby had died. It was a fetal demise, and we were waiting until the next day to go in to have the DNA. And we shared a babysitter at that time, or I don't remember if we shared a babysitter. The kids used to play downstairs with Rabbi Wiederblank's kids. Rabbi Wiederblank is a Kohen. Is my wife allowed to be in the same apartment as Rabbi Wiederblank? There's a dead body in her body. There's a dead body inside her. Now, that dead body is not going to be metameyu. No, because the halacha is that tuma balua, when you have tuma and it's completely surrounded, absorbed, it's not matame, but it might be krev olames. If you hold that the issur of tumas kehanim is krev olames, you're not allowed to be near this body. No? I didn't know what to do. Should I tell my wife not to be in the apartment with Rabbi Wiederblank? Like, not to go and pick up the kids. Like, she was so distraught. I was distraught, but I was distraught. So I decided not to ask Rav Shechter, because he would probably say it's awesome. So I asked Rabbi Willig. So Rabbi Willig was like, no one's machmir on this. Come on. And then, like, someone told me that Rabbi Wood the next day in Shir like gave a whole pilpul about maybe Rav Shach is right, maybe not right, and someone asked him a shayla. In some ways I think that's actually good rabbinic practice, like to relieve my anxiety, because I knew something, so I was like worried about this. He's like, no one's worried about that, but that was one issue. So that's one case of krev olamis that's not going to be metame. I'll give you another case of krev olamis that's not going to be metame. Also involves my family. I had an aunt. My aunt, Zichrona Livracha, Branka. My aunt Branka, her third husband was a man named Jacob. You heard the story? I tell the story a few times. So my aunt's third husband was a man named Jacob. And both Branka and Jacob came from Warsaw. Jacob had actually been Emmanuel Ringelbaum's secretary in the Einig Shabbos group, like to try to document the history of the Warsaw Ghetto. Jacob had been the secretary. Both Branka and Jacob were from Warsaw. They both, Jacob in particular, felt that he wanted to be cremated at the end of his life, because all of his friends were cremated. He was supposed to have been cremated years before by Hitler, Yimach Shemo. He wanted to be cremated to be like the Yidden that he knew. That was Jacob. Jacob's previous wife, before my aunt, before Branka, Jacob's previous wife, I mean, we should, Zachar Tov, let's just say names. Jacob Weintraub, and my aunt was Branka Weintraub. There was Weintraub Galleries, which was a very known art gallery on Fifth Avenue, right near the museum. Very wealthy people. They left $14 million at Stucco when they passed away. And Jacob's wife, before Branka, was Barbara. And Jacob, was a wealthy man, decided to write an autobiography of himself. And he talks about how he and Barbara had a wonderful life with their art gallery, and when Barbara died, because she also was a survivor, same type of story, Barbara was cremated, and Barbara asked that she should be placed in their favorite statue, which was a green fist. And Barbara asked that she should be placed in the statue. That's what Jacob writes in his autobiography. No one, I think, in the history of the world ever read Jacob Weintraub's biography. Like, who would want to read it? My wife was bored on the Shabbos afternoon. She picked up, the book is called Jacob's Ladder, if you want. My parents have around 100 extra copies in their garage. And my wife reads this biography. And she's like, really interesting, you know? Jacob said that his previous wife, Barbara, is in a statue of a green fist. You know, when Branka and Jacob died, my father's executive estate, so my parents got some of the art pieces, which are in their house. Some very nice pieces, Baruch Hashem. So my wife is like, there's a green fist on the piano. Let me take a look. So she goes over, she picks it up, and underneath it says, Barbara! So she's like, Abba, come here. My father's like, can't be true. Can't be true. My wife tells the story. It's like, Barbara's there. That's Barbara. Her ashes are inside a green fist.
This wasn't part of the story. Because he's told. Because he told that Tisha B'Av one time. Only about Jacob that he's...
I never told this part.
This part was not good.
Yes, this is the good part.
Right.
So Jacob's wife, Barbara, is in the... So the Shabbos is a kohen allowed to be in my parents' house. We actually subsequently... I'll say this story also. Jacob, when he was nifter on the first day of a Pesach, the first day of a three-day yontiv. He had given my father instructions beforehand that maybe he shouldn't be cremated. My father had been working with him for years, and he said, you know what, maybe don't cremate me, but they couldn't get in touch with my father right after because it was a three-day yontiv and he was cremated. So then the shaila was about burying the cremation ashes. So I spoke to Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter gave me some Ari Lakomis on it. I wrote a piece about this once. Maybe I should publish it at some point. The feeling was that in a situation, usually we don't bury cremation ashes. But if someone is cremating themselves because they want to be part of Klal Yisrael, because all of their relatives had been burned by Hitler, Yimach Shemo, so that person is not cremating himself or herself to cut themselves off from Klal Yisrael. They want to be part of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Shechter felt we could bury the cremation ashes. Kim Tzigain, my father's the head of the Chevra Kaddish in Lawrence. So he has graves available. So he decided he's going to bury Jacob's ashes. The problem is that the rabbi of the shul, who, it's a whole other story, the rabbi said, no, you can't do that, it's a terrible thing. We overruled the rabbi, he doesn't know, he never knew. If he listens to this tape, I guess he'll know, but whatever, the other story's with that rabbi.
What? Not a go on all of them.
Whatever. And Jacob is buried. Jacob is buried. We buried Jacob. We buried Barbara's ashes. Right? Well, we buried the ashes. So the ashes are no longer my parents' house. But would a kohen allowed to be in the house?
What about the statue?
What? The statue is still there. We kept the statue. We just took Barbara. It's a beautiful statue.
Like a stopper?
Huh?
It had like a stopper?
Yeah. It was like a copper. It was like sealed. And they broke it open. Barbara. Oh. So, they're buried now. Now, is a kohen allowed to become tameh, to cremation ashes? So the Mishnayos and Ahalos say that cremation ashes are not metameh. There's no tumas kohanim. Rav Shechter in that same piece contends that maybe there's no tumas kohanim, but if a kohen is near it, maybe there's krav olamis. Right, similar to what we said, like both of these stories are not so pleasant, but maybe there's an iser for the kohen to be near. Some of the achronim say a kohen can't be near Afer HaNisrafin. Maybe the idea is based on this notion of krav olamis. So if Shechter takes this idea of krav olamis and he goes further, he says maybe that's the heter to fly over Batei Kvaros. Because think about it. If the iser of tumah, skohanim, is not to become tameh, but the iser is to get close to the mace, if I am 2,000 feet, a mile, whatever it is, what's the altitude that plane's by? 35,000 feet above. There's no crave on mace. And I maybe going to tell me that Mehecha Tesi draw love. Also, Rav Shechter proves from some Gemaras that there are two different areas in Halacha, beneath the clouds and above the clouds. Once you're above the clouds, so that's not called Kreva. So that's Rav Shechter's cooler to fly over cemeteries. Now, this might not help in all the cases by Bayside, because it's so close to the airport that you're flying over when you're still pretty low, but it helps in most cases. So that is the first dimension of this shiur that we wanted to give regarding Tumas Kohanim, is the Isser, is Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, when I'm Tameh, can I become Tameh again? Right, the Dago Merivava, and the issue of Krav Olamis as being the possible understanding of Tumas Kohanim, and that could have Chumras and Kulas, right?
We come back to the Natal. I mean, one wouldn't say Kaddish. Right?
You don't say Kaddish.
So doesn't have the status of a human being yet, right?
The fact that you don't say, there are different areas of halacha. A nefel at this stage, once you're past midterm of the pregnancy, once it has evarim, that merukamim, that begins to look like a baby, so at that point, the baby that comes after is not going to be chayav and pidyon haben. So it has a din of a baby for that. The nefel, it's a machlokas in the Magen Avram, whether the nefel's ton kavura, we bury the nefalim. Right? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaks about a kohen am ha'aretz, who like bent over, and there was like a burr that had the nefel in it. How do you learn that Gemara? Is a nefel chayav and kavura? No, it's a machlokas in the Magen Avram, in Hilchos Yontif. We bury nefalim. We do a tahara on them. For me, I have to admit, I had a disagreement with the Chevra Kaddish and Breyers over this. I'm telling the story. I may as well tell the whole story. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have a nefel, you should give a bris milah to the baby al kivro. which usually you don't do the bris milah right before the kippur. Usually it's part of the tahara process of the baby. You do a little bris milah. Okay, whatever it is. I mean, they don't do a halachic bris, they do something. And it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to give a name to the baby. Lo'orir rachamei shamayim. So I was looking into the sugya because I was depressed. And I saw that all the Rishonim say that you should choose a name for the baby. And it should be a name in the mishpacha. Because la'asid lavo, you'll go up and you'll call out a name, a family name, and the whole family will come together and you'll be together again as a family. So you should choose a family name. So that's what I wanted to do. So I call Rabbi Katzenstein, I tell him, and he takes care of everything. He's wonderful. And I say, by the way, I have a name I want to give. So he's like, in our Kehillah, we don't do that. We have our own names. They have minhagim of which names they give. We have our names that they give. So I said, Rabbi Katzenstein, like, I want to give a name. I have a reason. Like, he says, no, this is not how we do it. If you want to do it differently, you do a different chev or something like that. So, like, a brira habach. So, the Kehillah gave whatever names the Kehillah had. They have minhagim. I mean, the good thing about the Kehillah is that they have minhagim for everything. The bad thing about the Kehillah is that they have minhagim about everything. So this is my story. Lamaisa, they were very kind. They helped out. They took care. Again, in the scheme of things, it's not like a huge tragedy. You know, it's a lost pregnancy. But when I tell the story, I still get a little emotional. That's why there's a big gap in my kids, no? Like, Rina is 7 and Virya is 13. There was another one in between. Whatever it is. Okay, so Zayn. So that is one din of Tumas Kehanim. Actually, I had a few other things that I wanted to say. So the last thing I wanted to say is Azoi. Let's just finish up this din of Kreva Lameis versus Tumas Meis. So we said that Rav Goren has his kula that if we pass him, like Rav Chaim Kohn, that Kehanim not Mitzuvan Cherev Harehu Kecholol, so maybe a Kayin could wear a watch and then come tell me to other mason. So says Rav Shechter, that doesn't work. Because if I wear a watch, I'm tome. But that won't help for this other din of crave all a mace. Besides the fact that most Rishonim, besides the Yerayim, hold that if you're tome, you're allowed to be in an oyal a mace again. Right? Let's say tome b'chiburin. Even the Rambam is mekel, you could be in the oyal. But they're not going to be mekel on maga for a mace. Touching a mace is assumed to be a higher chumrah, stricter than being in an ohel. So for a client to go to medical school, just always wearing this mace watch, right, that for sure won't help. Right, there's Rav Shechter's reason why it won't help, because right, it makes me tamei, but still crave all a mace is going to be aser. And no saf al kach, right? There's no heter at all, even if you're tamei, to touch a mace. When you're medical school, you mamish touch the mace in your dissections, no? By the way, it's not only medical school, dental school also. Dental school, they deal with mace. One of the issues that I sent to Dr. Abraham earlier this year is apparently now they do bone reconstruction, right, in the jaw or something, and they use human bone from cadavers. Is a kohen allowed to have this type of dental procedure? Someone in the show asked me, a Talmud Chacham, a guy in the show, asked me this question. So usually kidney transplant come from live people. Kohanim are not allowed to become tamei to Eiver Menachai either, but the assumption is that the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix. Let's say you're a kohen and your finger is chopped off. Is a doctor allowed to reattach it? You're not even tamei to Eiver Menachai, but when they reattach it, it becomes part of you again. Same with the kidney. I can't be tamei to the Eiver. You know, assume that's an Eiver. It's a whole discussion what exactly the definition of the Eiver is, whether you bosser gidim vat samais or whether an organ is also an Eiver. There's no bones in your kidney, no? Yeah. But, okay.
Can I ask a general question? I mean,
It happens that the halacha, we allow kohanim to get these dental type of implants from human bone because the human bone is totally squashed up and it doesn't have a shear to be metame.
Skin grafts.
But him, wherever he went, yaskil, he prospered wherever he went. Vayimro b'melech Ashur v'lo avado. Okay, let's just pause here for a minute. Basically, we have the same pasuk about David HaMelech. B'chol asher ya'aseh yaskil is an expression by David HaMelech. Chizkiyahu, the same expression as well. Now, Chizkiyahu rebels against the king of Ashur and he doesn't serve him. Chizkiyahu's father, Ahaz, became a vassal to Ashur. He was paying Ashur taxes, etc. Chizkiyahu rebels. Not only does he rebel against Ashur, not only does he open the Beis HaMikdash and establish yeshivos, etc., and destroy Avodah Zarah, but also he's successful militarily. Hu hika et plishtim ad azah ve'et givuleha mimikdal notzrim ad ir mivtzar. He basically attacks the plishtim. The plishtim live in the Gaza Strip, right? Ad azah. He attacks them. And he defeats them in Migdal Notzrim ad Ir Mivtzar. Okay, Migdal Notzrim means the tower of the watchers of a vineyard. Right? Oftentimes, right, you have like little schleppers, I'd call them, whose job is to guard a vineyard. Your job is to guard a vineyard. You sit up in a tower all day and you watch that no one attacks the vineyard. These are not powerful people. He destroyed them. And he also destroyed the Ir Mivtzar, their fortified cities. He completely destroys the people of Plishtim. That's what he does. Then the Psukim say, later on, that Shalman Eser, who is a king of Ashur, comes to attack Yehuda. Right? Excuse me. ויהי בשנה הרביעית לנפש חזקיהו שנה השביעית על שם בן אלה עלה שמעון עשר על שומרון ויצר עלה. He attacks Shomron, thank you. He captures Shomron at the end of year 3 and year 6 of... He captures Shomron at the end of 3 years of siege in year 6 of Chizkiyahu, which is in year 9 of Hoshea ben Elah. Shomron is captured and the king of Ashur throws Yisrael into Golos.